Genesis 1 and 2, and how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then I've talked about how the earth was without form, tohu, a terrible chaotic maze of confusion, terrible destruction, and void, bohu, absolute sheer devastation, a tearing up of the original creation. And I've talked about how that Isaiah in 45:18 said God created it not tohu. So if God didn't create it tohu, then this word without has to be, word was, haya, a hayitha, has to mean it became that way. And this is something that most missionary Baptist preachers believe. Some of them say it's not a theory. Some of them believe it's a fact. But I call it a theory because it makes more sense than anything I know, and it doesn't violate the scripture. It's called a gap theory. Some of them call it the gap fact. The pastor last week that I was with calls it the gap fact. He really believes it wholeheartedly, and so do I. But I believe it because it fits the scripture, makes a lot of sense. But in the end, we won't know how this all happened until the time that the Lord himself comes, and then at that time, it won't matter all that much what happened previously. Now, this ruined earth is when I believe that for, and I'm going to use a big long word here, and at least in time, and I hope it doesn't upset you, billions of years passed. I think the earth is about 5 billion years old. I don't believe time means anything to God. He told Peter, a day is as 1,000 years for the Lord, 1,000 years as a day. And so to the human mind, billion just drives you up the side of the wall, and you say, it can't be that old. Well, I think it is, but it could be millions. But in any case, it's a lot older than 4,004 years old. Now, then God regenerated the earth in Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In Genesis, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:3, in this period of time, this earth was in a state of maze and confusion. It was the time of the dinosaurs. It was the time of life that began to go through different stages and different phases. It was when Satan began to manipulate the original life forms that were put here, and which I'll be talking about in a few moments. It was when Satan actually perhaps mutated certain types of genes and certain types of chromosomal structures and eggs and sperm. And he came up, he was trying to come up with a creature to rule over this earth for him, for Satan, not for God. I believe Satan's sin that caused the creation to fall and God's wrath to put it in a state of devastation was he is trying to create life. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I believe that Satan in the past fell. Jeremiah 4, and I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form. That's the same word, tohu, and void. This is when it was tohu and bohu, and the heavens, and they had no light. This was when a tremendous cloud shroud was built around the earth because of the movement of the tectonic plates between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Tremendous volcanic eruptions went up above the tropopause level into the stratosphere and were trapped above an inversion that is still there to this day. And so there was no light beneath this cloud shroud on the earth. I beheld the mountains, Jeremiah 4:24, and lo, they trembled. This is the trembling, the movement of the tectonic plates, tremendous volcanic eruptions. And all the hills moved lightly. This is the movement of the crust of the earth, the volcanic eruptions being produced around the boundaries. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. At this time, God had not yet created Adam. There were creatures here. I do not believe in a pre-Adamic race of men, but I do believe in pre-Adamic creatures. There was no man. At this particular period of time, in Genesis 1:2, when Lucifer had tried to create life, he had taken the original life forms that God placed here, and he had tried to mutate them to eventually come up with a creature to rule over this earth for him. It was God's purpose and intention to have a creature rule over it for him, but Satan tried to thwart this, and he tried to take God's original creation in Genesis 1:1, mutate it, and change it. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. There were no birds. He looked, and he didn't see any birds. In the mutation of different life forms in Genesis 1:2 by Satan, the later forms that came along were birds. They were terrible types of birds, huge long wingspans, fantastic size, carnivorous, the type of creature that had a long beak. They were deadly. They were huge, gigantic, and those were mutations of God's original creation. They're not what God created originally. There were basic life forms that God put here in Genesis 1:1. They were all perfect. They were all of a nature that had no characteristic of being carnivorous at all. And yet God allowed Satan to go ahead and do all this for about 5 billion years. He allowed Satan to have free reign to go ahead, make his position before all the angels. A third of the angels fell with Satan, and two-thirds remained in heaven. And God gave Satan all his time to come up with a life form that could rule over the earth for Satan, for he himself. Satan utterly, completely failed. And then at the end of this time period, God flooded the surface of the entire earth. We covered that in the last part of Genesis 1:3. And then God began a recreation of the earth. He took away the cloud shroud. He let the light come through. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then in 6 literal days, he recreated, regenerated, refurbished, reshaped a devastated earth, made devastated by the actual sin of Lucifer, which occurred billions of years before when he fell, and a third of the angels fell with him. God then, on the 6th day, in a single episode, on a 6th day, created Adam. And it was done by God in a single day, perhaps even in just a matter of a few moments. And God forever proved to the angels that fell with Lucifer, as well as the angels that made a choice to stay with him, and angels are forever sealed in that choice that they made so long ago. He convinced them and showed them that he is God and there is no other. And it was God's proof to them, "Look, I've given him all this time. He has not come up with a creature to rule over this earth for him. Now watch me." And God spoke. Adam, after he formed him with the dust of the earth, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the Adamos, Adam, became a living soul. Revelation 12:4 goes back and records the time, perhaps billions of years ago, when Satan fell. "And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven," those are the angels, "and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman." Eventually, this dragon stood before the one who was to come and redeem the whole earth, the Christ man. He stood before the womb of the Virgin Mary, wanting to destroy the Christ child so he could not redeem mankind, the descendants of the man Adam, whom God had made in a single episode on a single day in the Garden of Eden some thousands of years before. "And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." So in the last several days, we've gone through all these different earths, the original earth, the ruined earth, the reshaped earth, a cursed earth because of man's sin, and the flood of Noah's day, the first flood being back here at the end of Genesis 1:2, where it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." We covered that last Sunday. Then you have the flood of Noah, the present earth, the tribulation earth, the millennial earth, the fire, and eventually the new earth. Now, why do I believe that the earth is a very old planet? Look, I really don't have any choice in this matter. I'm a God-called missionary Baptist preacher, and I'm a proponent of truth. And I know that the creation scientists like Morris and Gish say that the earth is a very young planet. I'm sorry, I cannot believe that. There's no way under heaven I can believe it. Now, what Morris and Gish basically say is that during the time of the flood of Noah, right here, that the whole earth began to turn upside down all over the earth, that these huge tectonic plates begin to flip over and sideways and backwards, and they do that, they say that happened, so they can account for the fossil record. You see, the fossil record clearly indicates that life forms changed over a period of time. Look, I hate evolution, and I don't believe any evolution has occurred since God recreated the earth. Since God made Adam and recreated the earth, no evolutionary processes involving mutation of the species or crossing a gene between a monkey and a donkey or between a man and an ape has occurred. So don't accuse me of believing in evolution from the time that God made Adam until the present time. I do not believe in it. I do not believe it has occurred. Mutation of the species, God put it and fixed it so it could not. However, before God made Adam, back on this original ruined earth, I think a lot of things happened that perhaps the evolutionists have some degree of credence when they say mutation occurred. Now, the reason that I cannot agree with Morris and Gish on a very young earth is because I know the Grand Canyon did not turn upside down. Now, the Grand Canyon is clearly a deep, 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 deep valley that has been worn out by the erosion of a single river that runs through it. There's no way under heaven the whole continental United States flipped upside down. And so the way Morris and Gish explain it, they say, well, the earth's crust flipped over. And they say in some places you've got the fossil record, you know, inverted. So that proves that it's a very young planet. I'm sorry, that is not true. Now, we have a lot of missionary Baptist preachers, not a lot, but some that believe the earth is a very young planet. And that's their right. And if they listen to this tape, they're probably going to get irritated. And my purpose is not to irritate them. But I have to answer to God for what I teach. And truth is truth, whether you find it in creation or whether you find it in God's Word. I know that God created the heaven and the earth. I also know from the actual evidence, visible evidence that can be examined, that there is a fossil record that indicates this is a very old planet. Now here you see the Grand Canyon. This little river down here, the foot of the trail of the Colorado River, right here, sets on Vishnu Schist. That's a black rock. This river carved out this entire valley. Now you can actually trace the fossil record in it. I can't go back and look at these various types of early life forms and deny that they're there in the rock. I can't do it. The Spirit of God won't let me do it, because truth is truth regardless of where you find it. Now, if you go up through these particular areas, you'll find way down here at the very foot of all this, you find the very first traces of life. God, in Genesis 1:1, created life. We don't know a whole lot about the type of life that God created, but the fossil record is there. They weren't carnivorous. They were mostly types of plant formations that lived not by eating other animals, but just living off the natural things that were here. Satan sinned somewhere after the original earth was created. I don't know how long he was over the earth. God placed him over the earth. He was the covering angel, the cherub that covered. He was the material. He was placed over the material realm. And so I don't know how long it was that the first earth existed. But in this first earth, you had life forms. And then as you go up the side of the Grand Canyon, as I'm showing you here, it shows you the different types of rock strata as you go up. And this river has actually chewed through it and worn this out. That's why you can't turn over the whole United States. That's why Morris and Gish are wrong. Now, I've talked to Dr. Gish about this. And I'm sorry, I just don't agree with him. At first, Dr. Gish thought the earth was only 4,004 years old. But later on, when I talked to him, he had gotten it up to 6,000. Last time I talked to him, he had gotten it up to about 8,000 or 9,000. He keeps going up in his ages. I believe that man was placed here very recently. I don't have any problem with that. But the original life forms, no, they were here on a very old earth. Now, as you go up the side of the Grand Canyon, here you see beach deposits with shells, seaweeds, and crab-like animals. You can see then sea deposits with shells, corals. You can see fish scales. We're going up the side of the Grand Canyon, and we're looking at the different rock layers. Up here, all of a sudden, way up toward the top, you see footprints, primitive cone-bearing plants, ferns, insect wings, and sun-cracked slits, silts. Then you go on up, dune sands with tracks of primitive reptiles or amphibians. This is the area shortly after this that you begin to see dinosauric creations. Now look, we've got these dinosaurs now, and we've got the whole cotton picking things, and it used to, people said, well, they didn't exist. I guarantee you they did exist. They were what Satan mutated. Satan took these original life forms down here and he began to cross mutate them. He has the power to do that, which I'm going to show you in just a moment. He took the original life forms, bios, and he began to create them into something that one day could walk erect on two legs and rule over the earth for him. He experimented all through here. And eventually he came up with dinosaurs, some that ate plants that were gigantic, brontosaurus. Others were carnivorous, Tyrannosaurus rex and others. They were a horrifying group of creatures, particularly those that were carnivorous. God did not create Tyrannosaurus rex. Tyrannosaurus rex represents a whole series of things that Satan did to mutate these life forms. And eventually, through a process that today we call evolution, he did come up with some of the most horrifying creatures who ever walked this earth. You cannot deny that these creatures existed. And to give God credit for creating Tyrannosaurus rex, who knows, that's possible. But I don't think that God had those in the original creation. I think they were mutations that Satan actually himself created using God's original life form and changing God's whole purpose in so doing. In a moment, I'm going to show you why I believe that's true. As you go on up toward the top, you see the seashells. Then you see sea deposits with marine shells, corals, and sponges. Then you see fossil sponges. Adam was placed on this earth just a few thousand years ago. But these creatures existed billions of years ago down in the lower sections of the Colorado River, down in that lower section in the actual valley itself. They're there, and they're undeniable. We have to account for them. And I know God's word is truth. And I guarantee you that nothing I'm telling you from God's Word violates Genesis 1:1 through 1:3 or the creation. It is an explanation of it. It certainly does not violate the language. Now, one of the real problems that has existed actually was caused by a man who, after the King James translation was made in 1611, came along and for the first time decided that he would add up those dates. Why didn't the Hebrews add up those dates? Because they knew better. Bishop Usher was a man in, I believe, Northern Ireland. In 1634, with the King James translation being made in 1611, 1634, Bishop Usher, who was, I believe, a Roman Catholic bishop, I'm pretty sure he was Roman Catholic. He might have been Church of England, but I don't think so. In any case, he came up and he added those years up. He should never have done that. He didn't know any better, but the Hebrews knew better, because there's a serious flaw in adding up those dates of the early saints listed in the first part of Genesis. We have Adam living 930 years, Seth living 912 years, and Enosh living 905 years. I don't have any trouble with the length of time they lived. But what I do have is when you start adding up the dates at the time, for this reason, chronological light. It is highly improbable that the genealogical framework of Genesis 5 was intended to be used or can be used for calculating the number of years, 1656, between the creation of man and the flood, thus dating man's creation at 4004 B.C. This is Bishop Usher, who said that the earth was formed in 4004 B.C. Well, this became so popular and was taught for so long, and when Charles Darwin came out in 1859 with his Evolution of the Species, there was so much opposition to anything that even breathed the word evolution at any particular time in history that they were buried. Some of them were probably killed for heresy. Well, why isn't this true? There are several reasons. The Hebrew terms begat, son, daughter are used with great latitude and may involve a distant as well as an intermediate descendant. I can stand right here and tell you without any question that I am the son of Henry. The Hebrew word for son is Ben, but the Hebrew word for grandson is Ben, and the Hebrew word for great-grandson is Ben, and the Hebrew word for great-great-grandson is Ben, and the Hebrew word for great-great-great-grandson is Ben. So the man I refer to died in 1856. He was the one who organized Antioch Missionary Baptist Church at Zion. I am the son of Henry. That's a fact. You say, well, what about all those people in between, your father and his father and the father before him? That's Ben. I'm the son of a man. I'm the son of Adam. I sure skipped a lot there, but that's Ben. Jesus is referred to as the Ben of Adam. So the truth of the matter is, it's not legitimate to add those up. It's just not legitimate. The Hebrew terms begat, son, daughter are used with great latitude and may involve a distance as well as an immediate descendant. The 10 generations from Adam to Noah and the 10 from Noah to Abraham evidently aim at brevity and symmetry, rather than unbroken father-to-son relations. 3, abbreviations due to symmetry, I don't know why I can't say that, symmetry, are common features of scripture genealogies, as in Matthew 1. In the recurring formula, A lived blank years and begat B, and A lived after he begat B blank years and begat sons and daughters. B may not be the literal son of A. If so, the age of A is his age when his descendant was born from whom B was descended. An indefinite, that's important, an indefinite time interval may therefore be intended between A and B. Man is now scientifically known to have existed long before 4000 B.C., as both paleontology and archaeology show. Now, I do not believe that the creature called Australopithecus, and that is listed as being in existence millions of years ago, I don't believe that was a man. I don't believe that has anything to do with the descendants of Adam. I think it was a creature that was hairy, that had a minimal animal, that had animal intelligence, high animal intelligence, was not a human, did not have a soul, and walked around hairy on two legs. I do not believe that that has anything to do with Adam or any of his descendants. I believe that is the final creature that Satan came up with after all this experimental mutation. Along the way, he created dinosaurs and some of the most heinous creatures that have ever existed on this earth. But finally, he came up with a hairy creature that had enough sense to bury its dead in caves because they stank, and had a fear, and had a characteristic of human nature that was highly developed, And I think that's what Australopithecus is. I think it's a mutation of all the other original life forms. I think it took Satan billions of years to come up with this horrifying creature. Not a man, but a creature. Not a man, but an animal. And I believe that after Satan had had all that time, God just said, all right, now stand back. He flooded the earth. He wiped out all those creatures, all of Satan's experimental work with his mutational efforts. He flooded the earth at the end of Genesis 1:3, and he wiped all of that out. God said, now, watch this. And in 6 literal days, 6 24-hour days, God refurbished, recreated the earth and the life forms. The ones in the sea are still the ones that he originally placed there, even though they themselves have gone through some changes. But all of these heinous creatures that existed on land were destroyed, completely destroyed. And then God, in a single day, made a man. And the angels in heaven, both those that followed Lucifer and those that stayed with God, saw that God is God and there is no other. And they realized that God is the Creator and there is none other. Now, I've shown you evidence here of why I believe the earth is a very old planet. But I don't think man has been here much longer. I'd say about 16,000 years. But I admit to you, I'm guessing, and I admit that. Is it possible he could only have been here 6,000? I seriously doubt that he has been. All I know is that God created Adam, and that there's been no evolution since the time of Adam. There's been no mutation of species. You haven't had donkeys mating with rabbits. There's been no cross mutation. God stopped that and put man in a frozen state where one species stays within the border of another species and it is impossible to cross it. In other words, a dog doesn't mate with a chicken. Ever since Adam, it has been impossible for mutation of the species to occur because it's an act of God which prohibited it, because that's what got Satan in trouble. It is now well known that the age of mankind cannot be reckoned in years from the facts listed in genealogies, for there are numerous known intentional gaps in them. For example, as B. Warfield, in his studies in theology, points out the genealogy in Matthew 1:1-17 omits the three kings, Ahaziah, Jehoash, and Amaziah, and indicates that Joram, Matthew 1:8, begat Uzziah, who was his great-great-grandson. The word is being. You can't tell from the word, and yet it says son. The mistaking of compressed genealogies for basis of chronology has been very misleading. So far, the dates and years of very old, early Old Testament events are altogether speculative and relative. They are inspired, they are accurate, but they are not inaccurate, because when it says Ben, you don't know if it means the great-great-great-great-great-grandson or if it means the son. Old Testament events are altogether speculative and relative, and the tendency is to put them further and further back into antiquity. Enoch had warned these people, Jude 14:15. Noah had preached righteousness to them, 2 Peter 2:5. God's Spirit had been striving with them, Genesis 6:3. Yet they had rejected God and were without cause. I know it blows people's mind when I tell them that I think Adam was probably created about 16,000 years ago. He may have been created as long as 20,000 years ago, because you can't add those dates up. And I know people look and they say, I don't believe that. Well, I understand that. And I hope you don't think I'm doing violence to Scripture, because I've shown you Scripture itself, and I've shown you what the word then has caused. And the one thing I'm really trying to get across is this. Here's what a man needs to believe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. And God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils the breath of life, and the Adamus, Adam, became a living soul. You believe those two things? Don't worry about how old the earth is. Don't worry about all these genealogies, and just accept the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, and that he made Adam in a single day. And that's what God requires of you. But I don't want to, I'm just showing you an explanation that I believe is true. But I would be the very first to admit that it is a conclusion that does not do violence to God's word, and is simply what I call a best explanation and a best fit. Now let's take a look at Revelation 12:3-4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This is the initial fall of Satan billions of years ago. And did cast them to the earth. Now we suddenly shift to where God sends the Redeemer to save all men. And the dragon, Satan, who had fallen billions of years before, stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. When God made Adam, this drove Satan crazy. And Satan tempted Adam and caused the sin. He's been trying to corrupt God's creation ever since God made it, because the whole angelic host saw Satan made into a fool. And he's been trying to corrupt the line of Seth ever since. He tried to corrupt the line of Seth all the way down to Christ. He tried to destroy God's Christ child, who was sent to redeem man's, God's creation of Adam. Now, and the great dragon was cast out. Now, eventually there's coming another casting out. This is in the middle of the tribulation period. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. At the present time, Satan still has access at God's invitation. When God desires, Satan can come before him, and he accuses the brethren. That's very clear in the first chapter of Job. But this in verse 9, in Revelation 12, 9, is not the original casting out, which occurred billions of years ago, but an actual casting out that has occurred, that will occur just in the middle of the tribulation period. Now I want you to notice in Revelation 13, 15, where we come to the false prophet, who is empowered by Satan. He represents the unholy spirit of Satan. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now the word life that is used there is puma, or pneuma. It means spirit. He gave spirit unto the image of the beast. Whose spirit? His spirit, an evil spirit, not God's spirit. But he has power to cause this particular image to animate and to appear to have life. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. So apparently, in the satanic realm, in the demonic horde, by the power of Satan, at least artificial or imitation life can be generated. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. There are two basic types of life form that are mentioned in Scripture. Bios and Zoe. Now, Bios, I think, is only mentioned five times. But if it comes out that it's mentioned five or six or seven, don't hold me accountable. I seem to recall about five times it's used. Bios, life, is the life which we live, the life led, manner of life, period of duration of life, means of living. Satan actually was able to take Bios and actually transform that by mutation into different life forms, and he experimented for billions of years to come up with a creature to rule over this earth. He failed utterly. He ended up with what we call a Australopithecus, or a hairy creature, not a man, no soul, that actually walked on this earth. Now, Zoe is the other word. Bios is the word. Satan was able to do it with reptilian life forms. He never was able to generate what I call a full-fledged biological species that flowed blood as our blood flows and had a soul. Zoe is life as the gift of God, and therefore is applied to everything which has life. Bios is applied only to men who had not only life, but lead lives. Hence the difference between the words zoology and biology. Bios is used only of the lower life and has no such worthy use as the word bios. Exodus 7. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh. And before his servants it became a serpent. God gave life to this rod and turned the rod into a living serpent. It was a genuine serpent. What kind of a serpent was it? One created by God. Now notice what these Egyptian magicians were able to do. By the power of Satan. You see, he learned a lot during this billions of years as he experimented with God's original life form. Then Pharaoh also caused the wild men, the wise men, and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, you say, well, it was just counterfeit. Yes, but it had life. And if you look up these words, it had life. Now, these are reptilian life forms. Remember the dinosaurs? Remember all those terrifying creatures? They were all reptilian. They were all cold-blooded. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Now notice the difference between God's creation and Satan's, even in the serpentinian type of creation. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So Aaron, who had cast down this rod, had a life form of God that was greater than that of Lucifer, that he had learned by counterfeiting or manipulating the original life forms, because Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Now notice the second thing. Verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so. We're in Exodus 7 and 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up his rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Blood carries life, and all the waters were turned to blood. But I want you to notice in verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. They also produced blood. Now those dinosaurs had cold blood. They were cold-blooded creatures. Nevertheless, in their blood it had a form of life. It had bowels. And Satan learned how to take that and manipulate it. Now some people say that a frog is so simple you can almost make one, and eventually I think they will be able to make one. But I believe Satan was able to work up through reptilian life forms. Exodus 8, 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. So here's God's creation of frogs. But notice the Egyptian magicians. Now, a frog is a cold-blooded reptile. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. They also brought up living frogs. Satan was able to actually generate life forms up through and perhaps just a little past the reptilian life form. And they did so. Exodus 8 and 17. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand upon his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, for the first time in these plagues, you have a warm-blooded creature. That's a sandlouse. The sandlouse is a very complicated little creature. It is not simple. And it has warm blood. And this was a complicated creation. Satan never did learn actually how to create the type of life that you see standing before you. He learned how to manipulate the others and to imitate different forms of blood. But he never was able to actually come up to any complicated life form. And it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now notice what happens when the magicians come out to do this. Exodus 8, 18. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. So there were lice upon men and upon beasts. They couldn't do it. Verse 19, they tell you why. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This is God's creation. Satan could not duplicate it. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Well, it's 10 minutes till, and so I'm going to quit here, but I want to tell you this. I believe that God made what we call Cro-Magnon man, but I do not believe he made Neanderthal. I believe Neanderthal was the final result of Lucifer's tampering, who eventually became Satan when he sinned, of Lucifer tampering with God's original life forms that he put here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the first earth. I believe after billions of years, he came up with a life form. It was hairy, it had no soul, and was crude. It actually had sexual connotations. It had some type of a religious form that Satan's spirit tried to get it to worship by. But it had no soul. One of the interesting things about Neanderthal, most of their remains are found at high level in a country, in the highest levels of any country. That's, I think, because they all tried to flee to the very high elevation when God flooded the earth in the end of Genesis 1:3. Cro-Magnon man, I think he's a creation of God. I think God probably created man 16 to 20,000 years ago. And I think that first man was Adam, and his wife was Eve. I don't agree with the creation by adding up those genealogies. Because if that were true, I think the Hebrews would have done it long before Bishop Usher did. But the Hebrews knew what the God-breathed word "ben" meant. Now, you may not agree with what I presented. But what I presented does not do any violence to the Word of God. And it's based strictly on the language. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm wrong based on misinterpreting God's Word. Not viciously or in a mean way, but by taking the words themselves and giving a reasonable explanation of what happened. I believe when God gave this creation, I don't believe, I know, he gave it to a bunch of Hebrews running around the Sinai Desert. How could God go back and tell them all this? Let's just assume that everything I've said is true. Let's just assume it. How could God put that in a book and give it to a bunch of Hebrew nobats running around the desert? Well, they would have thrown Moses out on his backside in the sand. So what did God do? He wrote a very simple, inspired creation through Moses. Absolutely accurate, 100%. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. I believe that. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I believe that. And God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I believe that. If you believe God created the earth, and you believe God created Adam, and you believe you're a direct descendant of Adam, and there's been no evolution since, my friend, you're in the same ballpark I'm in. And all this other stuff, I don't ask you to believe it. It's an explanation. God had to give a simple explanation because those were simple people. And if he had gone back and explained all this, just assuming it's true, and tried to explain the dinosaurs, they'd have thrown Moses out on his bottom in the back sand. Oh, well, that's it, and we'll have a cup of coffee.